Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We live in a day and age of great me-ism, is what I call it. There's a long drawn out name for it, and I can't think of it right now. But it's kind of like, seems like so many are just living on the principle, you know, you can't please everyone, so you just got to please yourself. And in where they go and what they do and how they do it and everything else, it's all about pleasing self. Beloved, we have a much, 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 much greater purpose in life than simply pleasing self. Much greater purpose in life than simply pleasing self. I've had people speak to me, say, "Now, Brother Darrell, I'm kind of thinking about doing this or doing that. I searched the scriptures and I can't find anywhere where it says, 'Thou shalt not.'" Well, you may not find just every circumstance in your life where the Lord says, "Thou shalt not," or you could find a chapter and verse to say, "Not do it." But there's a whole lot in the Word of God to guide us in rightful ways of how we should do and what we should be involved with and what we pursue, even if we cannot find an exact verse that says, "Thou shalt not." Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power, the control, the bondage of any." Amen. Then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now when the Bible says something once, that's enough. But right here, within just a few verses, we have this similar statement made twice. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come to you right here, right now, and we ask you to move in our midst. We ask you, Lord, to manifest your presence and power. We are so thankful for this gathering, this opportunity. Thankful to Brother Jim and church here at Olmsted allowing us this privilege to preach the word. Father, we ask you to take hold. We ask you to lead and direct. We ask you to guide our mind and guard our tongues. Help me to say only that which is pleasing unto thee to say, that which is in thy will. Give us all hearing ears and open hearts, Father. Father, get glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I ran across this little bit of commentary on this passage. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." It says Christians are saved by the grace of God, not by works of righteousness. Therefore, in a sense, they are free to do whatever they please. All things are lawful unto me. The Christian, however, is under a higher law, the law of love and of seeking to please and honor his Savior and Lord. Amen. Therefore, when a question arises as to whether a certain act is right or wrong, the decision should be based on how it impacts the cause of Christ. Amen. Does it help or hinder in the winning of the lost, or in the edifying of the believer? Does it honor the Lord and His word or bring reproach against His truth? For example, Paul concluded that he could not afford to be brought under the power of any practice, example, drinking, smoking, gambling, that might limit the power of God over his actions and his decisions. There's a powerful statement for you, beloved. And that's where each one of us who knows the Lord needs to be right now, this very minute, and every day of our lives. It's not about what we can get by with. It's not about, well, we can't find a particular chapter or verse that says, thou shalt not. It's not about just, well, I'm saved by grace, I'll do as I please. It's about what pleases the Lord.
Amen.
What pleases God. It's about manifesting our love to the Lord, who loved us first and gave himself for us. The word expedient is used here. It's not about all things lawful. It's about, yet all things are not expedient. The word expedient in this application means all things are not the best. All things are not the most fitting. All things are not necessarily appropriate. It means that all things are not the most rightful for a Christian to do. Expedient. We need to be focusing and living our lives, beloved, upon that which we find expedient. Not necessarily just lawful, or not necessarily we just can't find a scripture that says, thou shalt not. What's expedient? What's expedient? What is best? What is most appropriate? What is most honoring and pleasing to the Lord? And studying along these lines, the Lord's given us several thoughts we want to share with you tonight, and we pray God will bless these to our hearts. I've entitled this study, Life Laws of Expedient Living. Life Laws of Expedient Living. First of all, to be considered, and of the utmost importance, is the law of pleasing our Lord. Look in Colossians with me in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, and he makes similar statements other places through the scriptures in regards to his burden and desire for the Lord's churches. And he says this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing.
Amen.
Not walk our way, not what pleases us, not what pleases our carnal nature, it's not what pleases our flesh, it's that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's always a greater one to consider when we're thinking about who's going to get pleased in our life. Who deserves to get pleased in our lives? You know, if anybody ever walked the face of this earth and should have had the right to do what he pleased, it was our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that he walked on the face of this earth and it says, for Christ pleased not himself.
Amen.
He pleased the Father in all things. He obeyed God in all things. Oh, beloved, sometimes this idea of, well, you know, we gotta please ourselves, you know. No, we need to please the Lord. First and foremost, above all, seek to please the Lord. 2 Timothy says this, Paul writing to this young preacher brother, and he encourages him to be a good soldier. And we find in verse 3 of 4 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Brother Trescott knows a good bit about being a soldier. And I know Brother Trescott could testify, there was a whole lot of times and a whole lot of places that he had others to please beside himself. That's part of being a soldier. It's part of being, we're in the Lord's army. And it says this in verse 4. "No man that warreth entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier."
Amen.
Oh, beloved, part of living expediently, following after that which is the best and the most appropriate and the most God-honoring, is seeking to please the Lord and seeking to please him first. Secondly, there's the law of limiting our liberty. The law of limiting our liberty. Both the text that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church was talking about limiting our liberties. All things are lawful for me. Yeah, I could do this. I could eat different meats. I could do that. I have knowledge enough that, you know, I know that meat's just meat, but there's others that don't. There's others that don't. It's not just about ourselves. It's about what's expedient, what's best, what's most appropriate. We need to live by the law of limiting liberty. Look in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13. Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty only." Now let's stop. Let's get it straight. Let's get the proper focus on this right now. "Ye have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Amen. By love, serve one another. Amen. We live in such a day of selfishness and meism, such a day where, hey, you know, don't matter who it hurts, it don't matter what the effect is, you just got to please yourself. And that's the carnal, foolish idea of the world around us. Apostle Paul said, "Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another." Serve one another. Be willing to surrender yourselves to be an encouragement, to lend a hand, to in some way help along someone else. Don't let your liberty destroy or hurt or hinder a weaker brother or sister. But by love, serve one another. Thirdly, in doing that which is expedient, we have the law of building up. There's so much tearing down that goes on around us. There's far too much tearing down in our churches. There's far too much picking and far too much just looking to, you know, put someone down or drag someone down or... Beloved, we need to be all about building up.
Amen.
We need to be all about lifting up. We'll go back to our text, and it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 again. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There's a whole lot of things that won't lift or build up or strengthen a brother or sister in the Lord. It's not just about us. It's not just about what we want. It's not just about what we could enjoy. It's not just about where we could go. It's not just about some pleasure that we could do, and we can't find a scripture that says, thou shalt not. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26 says, let all things be done unto edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19 says this. Is we could read all this text, and it's similar to what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 10, and we're not going to belabor all of this, but just look at this one verse here in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. Where one can lift up and help strengthen and help build up another. Oh, living an expedient life. It's about pleasing the Lord and pleasing Him first. It's about limiting our liberties and in love serving others. It's about building up and edifying one another. It's about laying aside the weight. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. It's interesting to me how God has this worded. Talks about running our race for the Lord. And it talks about we always have a great cloud, many witnesses as we run. And it says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Not just lay aside the sin. It's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Oh, I've seen through the years of pastoring so many. They may not be just outright sinning, but they're involved in so many things, they're just weighted down. They're just hindered. They can barely walk their race, much less run their race. It's no accident when you see these Olympic athletes and so forth. I don't watch much of those things. I did happen to see some of the guys doing the, where they go down the big old long ramp and they just soar through the air and then land. But they don't have a bunch of heavy coats and boots and different things flapping and weighing them back and holding them down and dragging them and keeping them from getting out there where they want to go. Oh, beloved, sometimes we've got some weights just holding us back. We just need to lay them aside. We just need to let them go. We just need to examine ourselves honestly before the Lord. And not only confess and forsake sin, but let's lay aside that weight that we're just trudging along with, that we're just barely getting by with. Let's lay it aside that we might run our race, that we might not just barely walk or stagger or barely keep one foot in front of another, but let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I believe that's part of expedient living. We also see in a life of expedient living the law of umpiring faith and the pursuant of peace in this faith. We believe in God and trust in God, but we sometimes make decisions that don't keep us necessarily real close to God. Look at what the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, umpiring peace as we walk by faith. People do things and they, deep down in their heart, I know people have come and talked to me at different times through the years and ask about going here or going there or doing this, and you can sense it in them that they're wrestling with it. They really don't have a peace about what they're planning to do or preparing to do or have determined to do in some way or another. Bible tells us this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 14, it says, and above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also that ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The way I understand the word rule here in the Greek, and the basically it's let the peace of God umpire your actions. Let it officiate your life. If you determine to do something and you want to do something and you're preparing to do something, and yet down in your heart of hearts, you just got the feeling this isn't right. You know, I know this really isn't going to please the Lord, but I think I can get by doing this. No. Let the peace of God rule. Umpire. Be the official guideline of your life and your actions and what you do. If you're going to do something and you sense a loss of peace in your heart, that's a red flag. Amen. That's something that ought to jump up and hit you in the face. Amen. Hold up. Let's pray about this some more. Let's think about this some more. Let's study on this some more. I know I can do it, and I know a lot of folks wouldn't care whether I do or not. I know it's not necessarily going to be a great blight against my Christian testimony, Lord. But if you get that red flag, if you just get that sense in your heart, something just not right, heed it.
Amen.
Listen to it.
Amen.
Give pause to consider it. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Umpiring peace. Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3, we'll not take time to turn over there, but it says about one who wants a good life and to see good days. It says, let him seek peace and ensue it. Let them seek peace and ensue it. Follow after it. Let it be a guide point in your life and in your heart. Let the peace of God rule, umpire, direct. Be a directional beacon for your life and your actions. Then we think of the law of shining in the midst of this great darkness that we're living in. The Lord said he didn't want us to do anything that would put our light under the bushel. Said people don't light lights and hide them and cover them and keep them to where, you know, only they can see them. Jesus said, ye are a city set up on a hill. And I like what he says afterwards. Beloved, understand this. When you're living for the Lord and following the Lord and seeking to do that which pleases the Lord, if you're seeking to live that expedient life, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. Folks are going to notice. Folks are going to see it. Jesus said, you're that city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid.
Amen.
Look at what he says after. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Part of this great Sermon of the Mount. It says in verse 14, Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. I want to interject this here. If you're saved and you know the Lord, there is absolutely no better place to put your light than in a true New Testament Baptist church, the Lord Jesus. The candlestick in the Bible represents the Lord's church. And if you don't believe that, read over the first three chapters of Revelations. But the candlestick is the Lord's church. And if you really want to let your light shine, if you really want to count for the Lord, if you really want to be that light that cannot be hid, serve the Lord. Seek and get His leadership and join a true New Testament Baptist church of the Lord Jesus. And let your light shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen.
And it says here, verse 16, the Lord gets down and personal. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It goes all the way back to pleasing God and glorifying God. It's all about God. It's His work. He sent His Son. He works in the heart. He sends the Spirit to quicken and to bring forth the conviction of sin and repentance of sin and receiving by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We're saved to His glory. We're to live to His glory. We're to shine to His glory. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, not everybody's going to see your light and thank God and glorify God for it.
Right.
There's a whole bunch, especially in America today, that's going to vilify you. It's going to hate you. They're going to mock you. They're going to find anything and everything they can to drag you down and tear you down and so forth. Jesus covered that too. Let's go back a few verses and here in chapter 5. Verse 10 it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Isn't it amazing today in our society, in our world? I don't want to get necessarily started in this whole vein because sometimes I don't know exactly where to stop. But all the so-called tolerant, loving left in our society that plead for Christians to quit being hate mongers and narrow-minded and intolerant. They have the least tolerance for any truth, any righteousness, anybody living for the Lord and wanting to take a stand for the Lord. There's nobody more intolerant than the liberal left in America today. Nobody. There's nobody more prejudiced in America today than the ultra-liberal left. So, you let your light shine, those that know the Lord, those that know truth, they're going to glorify God. They're going to give God the glory. And if they don't, notice what the Lord says if you get vilified and persecuted. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Oh, beloved, our lives are not our own. Our lives are the Lord's. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power, the control, the domination of any. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Oh, beloved, may God help us with all of our hearts and all of our souls to the complete honor and glory of our Lord. Let's seek and keep after the expedient life.